So let's start by thinking about the aural qualities of voices themselves and how messing with them could yield new kinds of texts and new kinds of meanings.
So for this experiment section, each of us took the same original audio file, and that's the one that you've already heard, the fairly boring, plain, the reading from a fake student. So Kyle and I took that read aloud essay file and attempted a series of reasonably simple sound writing experiments on it, trying to show you guys a ton of techniques to move from a recorded reading to something that's closer to what we mean when we say sound writing.
Exactly. So you started off with some experiments finding and playing with voice, right?
I did. I decided to focus on the element of human voice in a reading, starting out with the question of how different voices doing simple readings might affect the meaning of the text, maybe reading it straight or maybe playing around a bit.
Before delving into the mysteries of receiving and sending messages without wires, a word as to the history of the art and its present-day applications may be of service.
Before delving into the mysteries of receiving and sending messages without wires, a word as to the history of the art and its present-day applications may be of service.
The wireless telegraph was invented by William Marconi at Bologna, Italy in 1896.
After Marconi had shown the world how to telegraph without connecting wires, it would seem, on first thought, to be an easy matter to telephone without wires, but not so, for the electric spark set up damped and periodic oscillations, and these cannot be used for transmitting speech.
You heard there the voices of my brother Jonathan, my good friend Edward, and 13-year-old Kaylin, a budding actor and niece of Karen Lunsford.
So just hearing all of those voices makes me think that sometimes just asking my friends would add some texture to my recording. Like, there's something inherently interesting in different voices. Even this whole introduction, I think if it was just me or just you talking the whole time for more than an hour, I think it would be a lot less interesting than it is hearing us talk to each other. I think that's a really important part of what we're doing here.
And remember how we teach students to use voice in the revision process for just, you know, normal typed up writing. When you have somebody else read your essay out loud, they have different mannerisms, different phrasing, and the meaning starts to evolve differently when you hear your writing in someone else's voice.
That's such a good point. I mean, that's a core of peer review and writing center pedagogy all around.
Yep.
So do you have any other voices beyond just those?
Well, then I tried something I had never done before. I knew about Amazon's Mechanical Turk.
Mechanical Turk, what's that?
It's a service for micro work and micro payments. I think it's usually used for consumer survey type stuff where you answer questions about soap and you earn 30 cents or something like that.
Okay.
So I found a listing in there for a scholarly speech study, and they were paying workers, you know, micro payments for recording themselves reading passages out loud.
Cool.
Yeah, so I used that as a model and I made one for us. And I got 16 different people from all around the world to record themselves reading the same text for us.
Okay, so that's about 20 cents per reading?
Yeah. Do you think that's fair? It was market price, but I don't know how to value that type of thing.
Yeah, that is a seriously interesting question. I'm not sure. Well, let's hear the voices you got.
He also showed how they could be received at a distance by means of a ring detector, which he called a resonator.
In 1890, Edward Branly of France showed that metal filings in a tube cohered when electric waves acted on them, and this device he termed a radio conductor.
In 1895, Alexander Popov of Russia constructed a receiving set for the study of atmospheric electricity.
Marconi was the first to connect an aerial to one side of a spark gap and a ground to the other side of it.
Adding a Morse register, which printed the dot and dash messages on a tape. To the pop-off receptor, he produced the first system for sending and receiving wireless telegraph messages.
So earlier when we heard from your brother and your friend and Kaylin, we heard people putting on other kinds of voices and accents, but these are really some non-native English speakers speaking English.
The wireless telegraph was invented by William Marconi at Bologna, Italy, in 1896.
Actually, I'd say that most of them were non-native English speakers, although that wasn't a question that I asked in the survey that went along with this, and it wasn't a skill that I was seeking when I made my post.
The first vital experiments that led up to the invention of the wireless telegraph were made by Heinrich Hertz of Germany in 1888, when he showed that the spark of an induction coil set up electric oscillations in an open circuit.
Another thing that I found out through this Mechanical Turk project was I got some variations of pronunciation. The word Bologna, which we have in the original reading, it was printed there using the Italian spelling, you know, Bologna, but some of the speakers who recorded themselves pronounced it the American way, like the food, bologna, and others of them pronounced it with something closer to an authentic Italian accent. So, you know, that was actually pretty fascinating.
Bologna.
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 And what you're making me think of is how we're pretending that this was a student essay. Just to remind you, this is actually our friend Eric Detweiler, who's reading from the Radio Amateurs Handbook.
Thanks, Eric.
Yes, thanks. And the Radio Amateurs Handbook is a public domain book that he found on Project Gutenberg from the 1920s. So it makes sense that it would use some words that we don't use so much today. But I think there might be some parallel there to writing in classroom situations. Like Eric and all of those Mechanical Turk people who said Bologna, they're all saying words that they didn't really write. It can be really interesting to hear the effect when others read our words aloud in their own voices.
The last thing that I decided to try with all of these human voices was to see how the meaning of the performance might change depending on the number of speakers. How many were speaking at the same time, who spoke which sentences, things like that.
Before delving into the mysteries of receiving and sending messages without wires,
a word as to the history of the art and its present-day application.
May be of service.
While popular interest in the subject has gone forward, by leaps and bounds
between the last two or three years,
it has been a matter of scientific experiment for more than a quarter of a century.
In this last example, I have all of the human voices that I collected all speaking the same text at the same time, and I think you'll find that this is not a particularly useful effort.
Before delving into the mysteries of receiving and sending messages without wires, a word as to the history of its present-day applications.
Wow. So before we heard that one, you mentioned that it wasn't particularly useful, and I think that's an interesting question here. What use are these etudes serving? And I'm not sure that's entirely our purpose right now. You know, we're not just here to say, look, here's something you can do and exactly why you would want to do it. I think part of our attitude here is just to playfully show what you can do beyond just simple reading.
So maybe I should say that I can't imagine how this would be useful, playing all of these voices at the same time, but I am able to do it, and perhaps someone else has an idea for how to use it. Do you have an idea?
No, it just seems so symbolic. You know, all these voices together, I'm picturing Michael Jackson in a Coke commercial. And all these people from around the world singing together, like maybe it's an Amazon commercial, I don't know. They're sharing their voices and they're singing in the same voice.
We all sing with the same voice, the same song, the same voice.
I get where you're coming from, but I am not sure that I hear it. I get it when I do it. And that's a useful thing for soundwriting too. Not all of these things that we listen to have to be listenable. They can be noise. And still have a purpose in writing them. Putting them together is still soundwriting, whether or not the end product is audible.
Yes.